Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A man coming off the night shift as a toll collector to hunt.
He came home from work. He told me he was going
to
go hunt.
An orange hat sits in the middle of the road.
He was called in by another hunter who was passing by and saw a hat, an orange hat, in the middle of the road.
Blood-stained snow sits near a Jeep SUV.
Wind was blowing, snow was blowing.
The man's mother wants justice for her son.
Lee was part of Eden. His murder was Ismi. Ismi now. It's like, it went to me.
The hunter becomes the hunted. But who did it? Next. This is a journey into crime. Along this journey, we tell stories of those who have felt the sting of abduction, domestic abuse, violence, and even death. We uncover cases which have been solved, unsolved, open, closed, and cold. Sometimes, in order to get a deeper understanding of something, you must return to view. A cold day for hunting got bone-chilling cold for his family. I'm Cole Johnson, and thank you so very much for joining me. Imagine this. You put in a hard night's work, and all you want to do is relax. You go out to do the one thing you love, but it literally kills you. Our next case on Return to View, Lee Van Leeuwender, and how his mother is still hunting for justice.
Look, my niece is sitting.
You and my grandson are the only two people
besides me who have a car. Charlene Sebring is trying her best to look on the bright side of life. That would be considered a tall task for anybody. Charlene says she wants to find peace in her life and hasn't found it yet. Richard Luthke is a former police officer with the Pocono Mountain Regional Police, now a retired detective with the Monroe County District Attorney's Office. Dealing with the rigors of police life can be draining for anybody. He, too, is seeking to have some semblance of peace, and it may have started on this journey. The two of them are an unlikely pair as they have become bonded. I would love to say that they grew close because of a wonderful memory or shared good moment. It would be a feel-good story we all would love to hear. Alas, that's not how it happened. It was a monumental event, all right, but it has adversely changed the life of these two forever. December 4th, 2007, Bartonsville, Pennsylvania. A 22-year-old man comes home at around 6 in the morning from a long night at work. He pulls the night shift as a toll collector. He sees Charlene this morning and makes his presence felt. He thought about the one thing which gives him relaxation: hunting. However, he looks tired. Charlene mentions to him that he should go to bed because of this exhaustion. However, having a one-track mind, he goes into his room and throws on hunting clothes. The man's name is Lee Van Leeuwender. Charlene is his mother. She noticed Lee wasted no time in getting out of the house to hunt. After all, it was hunting season, and as an avid hunter, he couldn't resist getting a piece of the action. As he got ready for his peaceful morning of hunting, Lee dressed in the following gear, according to Detective Luthke: layers of orange camouflage, 4 sweatshirts, 2 pairs of pants, 3 socks on one foot, and 4 on the other. Lee saw Charlene one last time before he left the house. She saw him walk out of the door, but before he left, Lee said the words, "Love you, Mom." Little did Charlene know, this would be the last time she'd lay eyes on her son alive. Pocono Mountain Regional Police say that Lee drove to a hunting spot on Hipsey Gap Road, which is roughly a 15-minute drive from the center of Bartonsville. Investigators say he parked his tan Jeep Cherokee SUV and exited the vehicle. What happened after that is unclear. What is clear would be the stunning place that is the Pocono Mountain region. Located in northeastern Pennsylvania, the Poconos are part of the larger Allegheny Plateau. The area overlooks the Delaware River and Delaware Water Gap to the east. The mountains are bordered on the north by Lake Wallenpaupack. They bordered on the west by the Wyoming Valley and the Coal Region. They are bordered to the south by the Lehigh Valley. The name Pocono comes from the Muncie word Pocawockney, which means creek between two hills. Much of the Poconos region lies within the greater New York, Newark area. The wooded hills and valleys are accessible within a 2-hour drive to millions of metropolitan area residents. The region has resort hotels with fishing, skiing, hunting, and other sports facilities available to any visitor or regular. It also serves as a commuter community to New York City and northern New Jersey, as it takes 2 hours each way via traffic. The area is broken down into subregions. Along with the Wyoming Valley and the Delaware River region, there is the Upper Delaware River region, the Lake region, and the Mountain region. It is this part of the Poconos, the mountain region, where we pick up the story. Bartonsville is in this part of the region, as well as Stroudsburg, and so is Hipsey Gap Road, located in Tuckahannock Township. This is where nature lovers and hunters love to congregate. Lee was no different. This is where he went to clear his head, get centered, or be at peace with life. The morning of December 4th, 2007 was no different, except for one detail. Around 10:15 a.m., the snow-capped area had hunters roam there. Allegedly, 100 passed through the Hipsey Gap Road hunting area where Lee Van Leuvender's tan Jeep SUV was parked. He noticed an orange hat lying on the snow in the middle of the road. The hunter then looked to his right, and that's when he saw it. Van Leuvender laid face first on the snow-covered ground. The hunter then called the police to talk about what he discovered. Van Leuvender was shot multiple times. The number of times he was shot has never been revealed. The most tragic part about all of this is the following. Van Leuvender found peace in going to the mountains and hunt. But what he allegedly found on the morning of December 4th, 2007, was a battle for his life. This is now the day life forever changed for many people in Lee Van Leuvender's life. That change has been reflected the most in his mother, Charlene Sebring. Lee Van Leuvender was a man who went through life wanting to celebrate it and experience peace. According to his mother, Charlene, he wanted to be the best father, friend, and fiancé he could possibly be. Normally, a person who meets a violent death like Lee would have a lot of enemies. According to many people, that was not the case with Lee. As his family tells it, they knew of no enemies. In fact, they recall him being someone who made friends easily and treated everyone with respect. So, obviously, his murder came as a shock to them. It still is a shock to them, even today. Born on July 14, 1985, in East Strasbourg, Lee Van Leeuwender was the son of Charlene Parsons, before Sebring, and Todd Sebring of Bartonsville, and Thomas Van Leeuwender Jr. He graduated from Pocono Mountain East High School and Monroe County Career Technology Institute in 2005, earning a certification in welding. He worked with the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission at the Lehigh Valley Exchange. Lee also was known as a patriot. He considered joining the U.S. Marines to defend the country he so dearly loved. Along with those things, he was an avid hunter and fisherman. Plus, he had a black belt in martial arts. He had a son, Sean, and conceived him with his fiance, Lee McLaren, now Lee Richards. So, with a young man having so much going for him in his life, why would someone kill him? And who would go through such trouble to literally hunt him down? If you want to know how much of an impact Lee had on people, look no further than his mother. Charlene talked with the Pocono Record about him only days after his death. Here's what she had to say then.
He was a family man. He loved his family. He wasn't, you know, he was here. He was outside with Shawnee. Shawnee's toys are all around the yard. His swing is out there. He would take Sean for long walks in the summer. They would go to the duck pond on Fifth Street and feed the ducks. They'd go to the park. If he didn't work, he either was doing hunting or out in his woods where he felt his peace, or he had his son. That's what he did. He did those three things. He was my best friend. Told me everything. And that's why this don't make no sense. Because if he had problems with somebody, I would have known it. And he didn't. If it wasn't for my faith, I couldn't be this strong. I know that God's going to come through and this person's going to be caught. He's going to be caught because I have faith that my son can rest.
When the Pocono Mountain Regional Police arrived on the scene on December 4th, 2007, Detective Luthke said the weather that day was terrible and quickly was worsening. He had junior detectives taking pictures of the crime scene because the wind and snow were blowing so hard. They even quickly judged Lee's death as a suicide upon seeing him lying face first in the snow. Detective Luthke's experience told him otherwise almost from the beginning of seeing the crime scene. The description of that December 4th, 2007 event would lead you to believe this was some sort of motion picture thriller being filmed. But this was not a movie. Bullet holes were found in Lee's car. There were shell casings on the snow-covered ground. Lee's hat in the road and the footprints in the snow displayed a gruesome picture which unfolded before the police's very eyes. Detectives believe Van Leeuwender engaged someone, or multiple people, in some sort of a shooting standoff. Lee's footprints placed him roughly 17 yards from his Jeep Cherokee. Here's how Detective Luthke recalled the event.
Well, I'll give you a little some extra stuff, too. Lee worked as a toll collector on the turnpike, and he worked the midnight shift, right?
Yes.
And he got off, what, around 6 in the morning?
Yes.
So he was just getting off of work, and he came home, and he went hunting. His mother wanted him to go to sleep because he was tired. So But it was about 10:15 in the morning, and we got a call for a deceased person on Hipsey Gap Road in the parking area. Patrol guys responded first, and they shut the area off. It was called in by another hunter who was passing by and saw a hat, an orange hat, in the middle of the road. And then looked over to his right and saw Lee laying there. And obviously, you know, shot. So they called us over. The detectives went over, myself, Detective Bray, all the detectives of Poca Mountain Regional Police, the district attorney's office came up, the state police forensic science unit, they come up. They sent two or three different guys, one to process the scene, one to go down and process the body when it was taken down from the morgue. When we first got there, the weather was really bad. We had one of those snow squalls that came through, so it changed the crime scene rapidly. As soon as we got there, I had one of the junior detectives just start taking pictures because everything changes so quick. The wind was blowing, the snow was blowing, you know, and he's like, you know, why do you want me to do that? I said, well, first of all, you have 8 years on the job. I have like 15, so you're going to take pictures. And I said, because it's changing. He goes, well, this is a suicide. I go, you have no idea what this is. You know, don't jump to conclusions. So he took the pictures, and then as we found out, Lee was shot multiple times. I'm not going to tell you how many times. I'm not going to tell you what caliber, because those are things that are important for the integrity of the case when we do solve it. And these are points that only the person who perpetrated it can know. But it was definitely not a hunting accident. It was definitely a homicide. And there's, a lot of evidence to prove that. So his Jeep was parked facing in to the parking area on Hipsey Gap Road. If we can go there, if you're okay with that, I'll drive you over. I'll show you the area, show you exactly. Lay the whole thing out for you. So his Jeep was parked facing in the parking area, and he was laying next to his Jeep. There was footprints in the snow that indicated that he had crossed over the road, went down an embankment, and went under a bridge by a creek, walked back up, walked past his vehicle, and then walked down this trail just around a bend where you wouldn't be able to see him if you were in the parking area. And then the footprints indicate that he comes back, and he's about 17 yards from his Jeep, and he fires what we believe 2 rounds from his gun because there's shell casings, and they're laying on top of the snow. And he had a rifle, obviously, because he was hunting. And there was evidence that he hit his own Jeep with a bullet. We're pretty sure, like, we couldn't recover the whole round because it broke apart. But the angle and, you know, the way it broke apart and how much damage it did to the Jeep would indicate that it was from a rifle. So his footprints go there. And then his footprints come around, and they line up with the front of the Jeep about the same distance away. And you can see that somebody fired a bullet through the back window, and it hit the T-post that holds the roof up in the car and bounced off, hit the seat, and fell down into the back passenger compartment. And that lined up perfectly with his footprints. And then you can see that he runs to his Jeep, and that he runs... and then he collapses, and then someone walked up on top of him and finished him off.
Charlene's time of enjoying life as a newlywed and seeing her son find his way in the world has now turned into taking care of grandchildren and struggling to find happiness on a daily basis. Trust has also been an issue. Charlene even admits that she keeps her distance from people. Even family has been an interesting dynamic for her. Once Lee died, her siblings were close to her and stood by her. Today, she faces a daily remembrance of burying Lee and feeling isolated from just about everybody in her life. According to Charlene, the search to find happiness and peace is a daily process. How would any of us feel if we tragically lost someone we regard as our best friend? Charlene talked about how the murder of her son changed her on Lee's one-year death anniversary.
I'm not the same person I was the day before that he was murdered. People have no clue. You have to go through it to actually have a clue what it is. Your heart's broken. And you're never the same. I tell everybody. Anybody that will listen to my story, I will tell my story too. So everybody knows about my son, who he was, and to try to find his killer. Because his killer is going to be caught. If it's the last breath I do in this life, is to find this man or this woman that killed my son. That's my goal now in my life. My goal is to bring justice. This person has no chance with a mother like me. Has no chance. I'm not going to give up. There's no giving up here. I loved my son more than life. And you know, just because he's gone does not mean that I get up every day and I think of him every hour, every second of the day, I think of him. And this is my purpose in life, is to find this piece of garbage and to put him behind bars.
It would be difficult for anybody to hear how someone they love to allegedly get killed the way Lee Van Leuwender did and be the same. Charlene mentioned how happy she was back in 2007, being newly married. She also stated that Lee was happy as well, being a father to a 2-year-old son at the time, and he was about to get married himself. She said that life was good then, until the day her son died. In 1997, WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels spoke to a crowd dealing with injuries which would sideline him for a few months. With the combination of life on the road and suffering injury after injury, he mentioned to the crowd the fact that he lost his smile. Well, considering that, as just opposed to Charlene Sebring, it is safe to say that she also lost her smile, or at least the power which lies behind it, on December 4th, 2007. As Charlene has tried to find justice for her son, the Pocono Mountain Regional Police tried something, everything, anything that would lead them to Van Leuwender's killer. Detective Luthke said their unit went so far as to question everyone they arrested if they had any knowledge about the homicide. And when I say anything, I mean anything. Detective Luthke said they went door to door to different residences.
Ma'am? We're the Pocono Mountain Regional Police. And we...
They set up surveillance cameras on Hipsey Gap Road.
Hey!
They even enlisted the help of a local psychic to scan the scene for clues.
I sent someone were coming over help.
Unfortunately, nothing good came from all that hard work. Actually, I stand corrected. There was one good thing which came from all that hard work. Detective Luthke gained the trust of Charlene Sebring over time, and because of it, they became good friends, even amid such a horrific tragedy. Charlene wanted to see someone work almost as feverishly as she did in finding the murderer of her son. She found that dedication in Detective Luthke, and they weren't through trying to find the culprit responsible for this heinous act. Charlene and Detective Luthke set up a tip line and put up a billboard which promised a reward of $10,000 for information leading to the conviction of her son's killer. The billboard was funded in part by Lee's final paychecks. Charlene also kept the flyer where she works, at American Candle. The poster was on display if there was, in any event, a customer could tell her something. The coverage of Lee Van Leuwender's billboard was prominently featured on WBRE in December 2020.
On December 4th, Charlene Sebring places flowers by this rock each year, remembering her once 22-year-old son, Lee Van Luvender.
It's hard. It's hard. But I feel close to him when I'm here because this was his favorite place. It was his favorite place to come up and find his God. This was his God in the woods. He loved the woods.
In 2007, on this date, Lee went rifle hunting alone off Hipsey Gap Road in Tunkhannock Township.
Within feet of the flowers, investigators say another hunter discovered Lee's body laying right next to his Jeep in this parking area.
He was dressed in his hunting clothes with several gunshot wounds. Evidence at the scene 13 years ago showed a shootout between Lee and his killer.
Somebody's hiding something. Somebody's hiding something.
The sportsman's mother never plans to give up looking for answers until someone is arrested. In 2018, her family put out a $10,000 reward. That offer still stands today.
The reward is open for a conviction of this person, and please come to me. Call me. Talk to me.
Sebring will keep calls private. Her phone number, 570-350-1553.
Every time I come up here, I pass somebody or somebody passes me, I think, could it be you? I just want answers.
Answers she believes will come this year as to who and why someone killed her son.
I feel it's going to be the year. New eyes looking at it, new things happening. It's going to be the year.
Positive thoughts to put an end to a cold case.
The anniversaries have come. The anniversaries have gone. The motivation for Charlene remains the same. Lee Van Luvender's killer will be brought to justice. However, it is hard to not notice the weight of grief, which is still prevalent in Charlene. And, to a certain extent, Detective Luthke. Detective Luthke talks quite candidly about how Lee's death affects them all to this very day.
She's a mess. She needs help. She needs to go see counseling. So, yep, now she lost another child, and it's an impossible situation for her. You know, I feel terrible for her. You know, she doesn't know if the person she's standing next to her and next to at the supermarket is the person that killed her son or not. You know, it's got to be awful. I can't even imagine. But I think over the last several months, she's gotten stronger. I don't know if she's come to terms with it, that it's not going to be solved, or there's not much she can do, you know. I think she's been better. She has a tough home life, too. You know, she's taking care of her grandkids, and it's hard on her. The whole family's been ripped apart by the incident.
It's gotten to the point where Detective Luthke decided to step away from day-to-day detective work. Now, the county detective working on the Lee Van Luvender case is Craig Van Luvender. Now, if you're wondering about the relation, I'll let him explain it.
Distant cousin.
Really?
Yes, it is a they're a distant cousin on my father's side. I never met we weren't close, but it is, they dropped the O in Van Luvender, where some people dropped the O because it was too long. So we did keep the O, but it's a distant relation.
And is there any conflict of interest?
Because I'd want to solve it no matter what. But is it something that to be able to give someone a family member some? It'd be nice to do that. But I don't look at it as any different from any other ones as far as the effort that I'd give to solve it.
Does this mean that Detective Luthke will wash his hands of the case now that this transition has happened?
Basically, I've known Rich a long time. He was great to work with. I loved working this case with him because he was so knowledgeable about the people, about the evidence. But really, he had a great way with people. He was very familiar with everybody up on the mountain. And so it's basically just going back through the case, trying to get myself as caught up to what's been followed up, what leads have come in and been followed up on, and is if there anything new we can try. So it's pretty seamless transition. I know he's always available to me if I have a question, because this is a case that he'll never just say, I'm done with it. Don't call me. Don't bother me. I have no concerns about anything like that. I know he's always going to be always going to be involved in this.
What makes you say that?
Because I've known Rich for years, and I know how this case, it's part of him. So there's no way he'd just say, I'm retired, I'm done, don't ever call me about it. If I ever had a question, I know I can pick up the phone and call him. I've talked to him several times on it already in just the last couple weeks.
What is refreshing about detectives such as Craig Van Leuvender and Richard Luthke is that they seemingly have more of a human touch with their brand of law enforcement. Both Detective Luthke and Van Leuvender believe law enforcement work is more than being mean to every person they arrest.
I just didn't take the job as what I do is arrest people and put them in jail. You know, you really help. You help people at the worst part of their life. You know, most people that you deal with in arrest aren't true criminals. They're just at they're in a bad spot in their life and they do something bad. There are true criminals, obviously, but you know, not everybody that I came across was a true criminal. And I think if you treated them fairly, and they understood what they did, which is part of your job too, you know, not just being a saint to them, I think that it helps, and it helps them get over this rough spot in their life.
This approach certainly has helped one member of society get through the worst pain of her life. Every December 4th, Charlene visits the place where Lee was killed. There was a memorial placed in his honor. If you were facing them, once there was a stone, and to the right a tree, and on the tree was a placard commemorating Lee Van Leuvender. At the base of the tree stood a white cross. If you were looking at the cross, it said the following. To the right, it said, son. To the left, it said, father. With the part sticking toward the sky, it said, brother. It also said friend and uncle on the cross as well. There was also a green wreath which sat at the bottom of the cross. Unfortunately, I say was to all of this because the memorial was stolen. Charlene believes it was the killer who stole all of the memorial. Even with all the negatives regarding the death of her son, Charlene is resolute that Lee is at peace and will live to see the day that her son's killer will be brought to ultimate justice. Both Detective Luthke and Charlene are also committed to being happy no matter when Lee Van Leuvender's death will be properly avenged. What helps them both, especially Charlene, is remembering the wonderful memories Lee gave her. This is how she chooses to remember her son.
Because he had a sense of humor. Lee had a very big sense of humor. One time at Halloween, he put a yellow wig on and put balloons in his shirt. And he walks in the house, and for Halloween, he was a woman. Just for me, you know, like he's like, hey mom, look at this. This is my outfit. Like he was funny. He was funny. Lee was very funny.
Isn't it refreshing to hear Charlene's laugh when she reminisces over her son? I am glad she has those memories to help her get through the tough times. But make no mistake about it, every day has been rough for her. She will tell you that herself. It has been a personal, repetitive nightmare for her ever since that fateful day on December 4th, 2007. Now rearing some grandchildren, Charlene is trying her best to keep it together. She goes through life being productive, but as the entrance to her house suggests, Lee is never too far from her mind, her heart, or her soul. As you walk into her house, there's a poem, and beside it is a portrait of Lee. The character of Lee Van Leuvender is also reflected in Detectives Luthke and Van Leuvender. They see the hurt in Charlene's eyes. They've combed over the evidence of his homicide. They've asked around the area. They've even dug into his history. And what they found is a man who had no enemies. That came out of Detective Luthke's mouth. It is unfathomable to even think someone would hunt down and kill a good man such as Lee Van Leeuwender. Yet hearing it out of these two detectives' mouths, it looks like a good man received the short end of the stick, and his mother received a broken heart. If you have any information leading to the arrest and the conviction of Lee Van Leeuwender's murderer, call area code 570-895-2400 or area code 570-350-1553. There is a $10,000 reward for the information. Thank you for your time. Please subscribe, share, and spread the word about us. Remember, this is premium content, so when you spread the word, please let our future listener know. I'm Cole Johnson, and on behalf of all of us here, I thank you for returning to view the Lee Van Leeuwender Hunting for Justice story. Thank you for listening to Return to View. Many thanks to Charlene Sebring, Detective Craig Van Leeuwender, and Detective Richard Luthke for their commentary on this program. Opening and closing theme written by Jimmy Free. The Mother of Cold Case Victim Looking for Answers package was made possible by WBRE in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. The Charlene Sebring on Lee Van Leeuwender's death on 1 year anniversary, and Charlene Sebring on Lee Van Leeuwender as a hunter, father, and best friend days after his death packages, courtesy of the Pocono Record in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. For more information on this episode, go to the following story in the Pocono Record. Lee Van Leeuwender, How a Mother, Detective, and Others Are Hunting for Ultimate Justice. The article was written by Hannah Phillips. This has been a Comey Media Incorporated presentation in association with the USA Today Network.